Welcome back into the noon hour here of Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050, streaming online tsn.ca, now on your televisions, TSN 4. Andy Petrillo alongside Mark Rowe, and now the host of Overdrive, joining us here, Mr. Brian Hayes, whose arm I think I almost broke on Monday.
What?
All good?
Yeah, with the Matthews goal.
Yeah.
Andy got a little bit carried away.
No way.
Although kind of a composed carried away,
it was,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, it was more like a dig in, like right. I'm going to rip your arm off as opposed to break it, but it was okay.
It was a big moment.
It was, and so I was sharing this story yesterday, because heading into overtime, you went and sat with your dad.
Right.
And O-Dog had to go do a SportsCenter hit. Scotty Mack and I were debating whether or not we should sit together, because we now had seats available next to us, but we didn't want to mess with the mojo, so we stayed in our seats, and of course, they ended up winning. So it was because of us. That's
okay,
what we convinced ourselves
let
of.
Let me ask you this then. On the reverse end, if they lost, would you have blamed me?
100%.
Yeah, I knew that would give
blame.
Me the care. Because I moved, I left the seat. And I went like Kaiser Soze. I didn't tell Andy anything. We were sitting there. Kristen Chilton, I always feel for the reporters who have to go down early to get access to the coach and to the players. Like Kristen left with like 5 minutes left in the third to go downstairs, right? So she missed out on... Well, she didn't miss out. She saw it, but she saw it from a different vantage point. But we were sitting there, Kristen, myself, and Andy, and the game was unbelievable. Like, it was thoroughly entertaining. It was a fun game. And my dad was down in the seats, and he sent me a text earlier in the game, and he's like, there's a seat here, like, if you want to pop down. I'm like, no, I'm good up here. But if it goes to overtime, I think that was when it was like 3-1. So that was like wishful thinking. Basically, not going to happen, but A, if it ever does, whatever. And then it got to overtime, and I just disappeared.
You did. I thought, I was like, he's in the bathroom for a long time. I think the press room coffee got to him. I'm like, something happened.
He felt that way.
He wouldn't be the first victim, but anyways.
Yeah, like full-out Harry Dunn routine in between the third and overtime, and didn't make it back to my seat in time. But
you're
I did
just
have
shaving
that,
in there.
Yeah, exactly. It's just shaving. Like, but I went downstairs, and I'm like, I'm sitting in the seats, and a minute and a half into overtime, it's over.
Yeah.
Right?
And you sent me a message. You did send me a message.
Because I figured you would be worried about me. I'm sure you noticed that I had disappeared.
You did. And I was like, And then you sent me the note. And then that's when, you know, Scotty and I had the conversation. But we kept it. And a lot of people were sending in some great little quirks that they have. Like, one guy says he got a drink from the same mug every game day. One guy said he has a lamp that he has to turn off. Apparently, I guess he had it on in game one. The Caps win, so now the lamp is off. It's like all these weird things, but I think it's funny. It's funny what fans do to feel a part of the game and feel a part of the win.
It's the beauty of being a fan. You can get it's like there aren't that many sectors of society where you can be a complete lunatic and it's totally accepted. Like, it's just like, yeah, we get it. We understand why you would do that. And being a fan and being superstitious and going through a certain routine. I mean, Dark Guy's a perfect example. Now he's locked in. Every time he goes to the game, he's got to have the paint on.
Yeah.
Like, that
would
suck.
And he's got to have that hair.
And he has to be at the game.
Right.
Like, he can't be like, sorry, I have a shift. They're like, No. You're on our payroll now.
Well, and that'll be interesting because I believe he's going to the game tonight. If they lose, do people turn on him? Does all of a sudden, does he have, you know, the chance to not show up? Not that he wouldn't. I get the impression like he's basking in all of this, and he should. But they're guaranteed a game six. They're guaranteed, unless they win the next two nights. Home game Sunday night, so we'll see.
And you know, the fan base gets a bad rap a lot of times, and we poke fun at the Joe from the Bridges and everything, but like, watching the Leaf game on TV and then watching the Raptors game and the fans, it's like the Raptor fans are like, yeah, we've been here before. Jurassic Park was all right, but there are like people that were late getting to the games. I thought the Leaf, you know, like, I don't know if it's ever going to be Chicago or Montreal, but it was a pretty good atmosphere, and it was loud, and you could tell on TV, and Maple Leaf Square was great, and I think it's just people appreciating it, and they should. And whatever, if you like, you guys are obviously professionals at what you do, but you also don't hide the fact that you're Leaf fans, and you should be enjoying every moment of it, because where were you 3 years ago or 2 years ago, and where was your mind at? Like, I don't know where this team's going, I don't know what direction, and think of how much has changed, and now you're playing the President's Trophy winners, and you're in the same ballpark as Alexander Ovechkin and company. Like, it's enjoy. Who knows what happens? Maybe they lose in six.
Well,
but if you were to say, before the series, you'll get six games of the Capitals. No, you would sign up for that 100%.
I think most people would. I think that also is probably why we're seeing the reaction that we're seeing, is that most people were You know, there is a difference between being a fan and being a homer.
Yeah.
Being a homer means you're 100% of the time optimistic, 100% of the time on the side of the team, and you go out of your way to seek out positives that simply aren't there. Fans, you can slant either way.
Oh,
there are
sure.
optimistic fans and there are pessimistic fans. But being a fan of a team and the fan base and growing up in the city doesn't mean that, you don't criticize when the time is there and doesn't mean you can't be a realist when it comes to what the expectations are and what this team is up against. And I think the majority of fans realized Washington is the favorite. They deserve to be the favorite. The Leafs are in a tough spot. They're young. They're inexperienced. They won a lot of games down the stretch, but this is a whole different beast that they're trying to slay. So I think most people came into the series realizing this is going to be tough. Like, the Leafs are in tough. And then all of a sudden they're up 2-1. And I think that also is leading to the just passion that's out there.
Everyone's happy.
The adulation that's out there. Exactly. Like the exuberance that, that you saw coursing through the rink on Tuesday night or on Monday night. I mean, I do think the fact that they are winning these games and they're surprising and all three of them have gone to overtime has changed the way people are reacting.
And here's the thing. So before the series started, I know we were discussing this about, you know, if they, even if they were to get swept in four, which clearly is not the case now, but we were discussing this before the series started. We were talking about the Leafs being able to walk away and learn something, right? Like, what, even if they were to lose or even they would get swept, they could still see this as a learning experience. And I remember saying it depends on how they lose. I think now, to your point, even if they were to lose this series, the fact that at least the first three games went into overtime, because I said it depends on how they lose.
Right.
If you get blown out, okay, there's always something to be learned from something, but that sucks, and that's probably going to take weeks, if not months, to recover from, even though they say a loss is a loss is a loss. No, I think how you lose can also affect your mentality and how you move forward. But if they were to lose this series, they took the Washington Capitals at least to three straight overtime games. That's nothing to just turn your nose up at.
No, it's not. And what I have taken out of the first three games, I think it's a coin flip now. You know, I thought the Capitals, I placed the odds like 70-30 in favor of the Caps going into game one. After the split in Washington, I still had it 60-40, probably give or take, in favor of Washington. Now that it's 2-1 Leafs, I've got it as a coin flip. So I will not be surprised anymore based on the outcome. If the Leafs win, I won't be surprised. Yep. If Washington wins, I won't be surprised. What I think I would be surprised by is if this becomes lopsided either way. If the Leafs win the next two games and do so convincingly, I would be very surprised by that. If Washington wins three in a row and just smokes the Leafs, I would be very surprised by that, just based on what both teams have shown through three games. But it's interesting, because we're talking about the fans and their reaction, I agree with you. If you're Babcock, Lamoriello, Shanahan, you love what you've seen. You realize, okay, if this goes south and you lose, there is a lot that you can sell these players on in terms of them being proud of, in terms of them building off. But because of the mentality of the fans going into the series, where, again, majority of them, I believe, were being realistic or as close to it as possible and expecting the Capitals to win this, now that the Leafs are up 2-1, I wonder if this will be a more difficult pill to swallow if the Leafs do end up losing here. Like, if they got smoked four in a row, people would be like, well, they got there, and that's Washington. Now they're up 2-1. They've played well. I get the sense like Leaf fans are starting to get a little bit greedy here, which is totally understandable.
But you know how fans think. Fans have already thought about playing Pittsburgh in the second round.
Right.
People thought about the Leafs playing the Rangers in the second round in 2013 for those few minutes there in the third
round. When they were up 4-1, people were booking flights to New
York. Yeah, and like, we just beat the Bruins, we can beat the Rangers. You know, if we can beat Ovi and the Caps, we can maybe beat the Penguins. Like, people are already thinking that way. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with
that. And it can change on a dime, because if the Capitals do what San Jose did last night,
100%,
it is going to be a very different mood tomorrow. It'll be a very different mood. All of a sudden, you're going to try to play, you know, amateur psychologist and say, okay, they still got a split, which ultimately you would have taken before they came home after game two. You take a split in a heartbeat and say, let's keep pushing the series along. But you lose 7-0.
It's like, okay, this is what we expected.
That's a smack in the face.
Well,
like,
Babcock referenced that San Jose Sharks Oilers game last night, so you can bet he'll be preaching it once again to his players. But just like we talk about, there's no such thing as momentum carrying over game to game. It's in the playoffs, momentum doesn't even carry over from period to period. It's the same thing with fans. Just take this game and realize that the next game is going to be completely different. But how about this? We're talking about the goaltenders and, you know, Freddie Anderson being the MVP for the Leafs. Braden Holtby at morning skate gets run over by Johansson and place goes silent. Apparently, Braden Holtby is okay. But Tom Galluti here for the NHL reporting, he's like, you know, this is another reason why everyone was on edge, because don't forget that Holtby injured his knee in a collision with a teammate during the practice day before game four of the first round last season against Philly. So you, I mean, the goalies, it's, I don't want to say, you know, your forwards and your D are a dime a dozen, because they're not, but geez, if you lose your goalie, although some Leafs fans pointing out, not like Philip Grubauer is going to cut the Leafs any slack. I mean, the guy has won his last three outings against the Toronto Maple Leafs. You don't exactly want to face him either.
No, he's a good backup, but clearly that would be an advantage for the Maple Leafs if you're not playing Holtby. And I think there's some pressure on Holtby because I think he's been okay, you know, but I don't think he's been spectacular. This is a guy who he's going to be nominated for the Vezina again. Mm-hmm. He's a top three or top five goalie in the world, and Freddie Anderson has outplayed him. And I wasn't sure I was going to expect that coming in. I figured if the Leafs were going to win, it had to happen. Freddie Anderson had to outplay him. But I am curious to see how Braden Holtby responds tonight. And I'm not surprised at that reaction, because it really is the it's the position that determines the sport more often than not. Six times out of ten, it's the goaltender that's going to figure these out. Maybe seven times out of ten. That would be like a quarterback getting injured, you know, during a practice or whatever. It's quarterback, goaltender. Maybe you can include pitchers in baseball. When those guys get banged up, you're going to have a different reaction.
That was a really good Randy Carlisle impression, by the way. He's been okay.
Yeah.
Just okay.
Yeah. Braden Holtby? Yeah, he's okay.
But like,
just okay.
In the past, when the Caps, and we were talking about this in the earlier hour, you know, there's been times you're going to be like, yeah, but their goaltending's not great. Or, yeah, they don't have, their bottom six forwards aren't the best. Like, this team, top to bottom, I don't know what their weakness is. And yet you watch how the Leafs play. And not that they're hanging with them, but the Leafs are playing the game that they want to play. Like, they're playing the same game that they played in the regular season. Rookies contributing, you know, Naz, especially in game three, posing his will against guys. Like, I'm waiting for the Capitals to kind of flip it and say, no, we're playing on our terms here. And the fact that the Leafs have made things uncomfortable for Washington at times is really impressive to me.
And that's the test for the Maple Leafs, to make sure that that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Don't allow them to exert their will. Don't allow them to play the style of game that they want to play, because the Leafs, in large part, have dictated the way the game is going to play out. Their transition game has been very, very solid. Like, they're moving pucks out really quickly. They're not spending as much time in their end that I was expecting coming into the series, and I think most people were expecting, and certainly Barry Trotz and the Capitals were hoping. So, you know, I think there's still a lot of people in the hockey world who are thinking at some point the Caps are just going to snap out of it, and it felt like that was going to be the case in Game 3. It was 2-0, 4.5 minutes into the game, and they were pushing. Like, they were rolling. They looked like the team we expected to kind of cruise to a Stanley Cup, to be honest. But the Leafs continue to be resilient. And that's the one thing the Leafs have done all year. That is the one characteristic that sticks out for me. The resiliency has really been impressive. Like, they rarely got into slumps. They rarely found themselves in positions where games carried over, where they looked out of place or they looked their age, quite frankly. So I think Babcock, you know, he's done a masterful job as well through three games. He's got this team believing in a system and believing in a style of play. And now he's got three games to show them, to say, listen, it can work, man. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Well, we know that's been the narrative after at least the three games. I know you had Alan May on, a Capitals analyst. You had Ray Ferraro on as well yesterday, all talking about how the Toronto Maple Leafs were dictating the play. And now coming out of morning skate, a lot of the Washington Capitals players saying it's time to play our game. It's time to not let the Toronto Maple Leafs set the tone. So, okay, that's great. You're saying it. So let's see what happens, you know, in today's game. But it's just, it's all very interesting on how things are playing out with this team, because I mean, if Alexander Ovechkin ends up playing more minutes, can that be the difference? I mean, that obviously we have to wait to see. But heading into the series, it was all about the fourth line, too, for the Washington Capitals. Their fourth line is more of a third line. Jay Beagle, don't take him too lightly. We just heard right now Chuck Gormley saying it looks like Tom Wilson has played so well that he's at least going to get bumped up in the lineup. The Toronto Maple Leafs fourth line lead the team with six even strength points.
Right.
So suddenly you're looking at all right, top to bottom, the Washington Capitals, where can you really find some weaknesses? But it's almost like the fourth line for the Toronto Maple Leafs, as good and as consistent as they've been this year. Now, mind you, we've seen a lot of faces change on that. We saw Ben Smith. We saw Freddie the Goat.
You know,
you've had Soshnikov, who's been on that line, Levo, Kapanen. It's changed a lot. But ever since, it's been consistent with Brian Boyle and Matt Martin, and then now it's Kapanen that's been there. You can't dismiss the fact that the Leafs also have the option to roll all four lines.
Well, and Babcock does that. Babcock trusts that line a lot. Like, he plays them a lot of the time after goals, either scored or given up. He gets them out there to try to change the pace of the game or keep the pace going in the direction they wanted to. Tom Wilson, I think he's been okay. Like, I'm not sure why he's deserving of an upgrade and moving up the lineup.
He got the OT goal. There's your hero on game one.
And that was on Freddie. It wasn't on him. Like, he made a nice play to catch it and get it on a stick, and good for him. He's a Toronto kid and all that, but I haven't seen anything out of him that leads me to believe, because he's going to the third line, all of a sudden the Leafs are going to be scared about that.
And I don't know if this is overthinking things either. You know, like, we're talking a lot about Barry Trotz, and for the last 24 hours we've been talking a lot about his comments about Ovi and about, you know, this is a Leafs team that's playing really well. And you're like, oh, like, think of all the great coaches in sports. Like, most of them, if ever, compliment their opponent.
Right.
Like, they're all about mind games. Like, Mike Babcock isn't talking about how great Ovi and Backstrom are.
He barely compliments his own team.
Right.
Like, he keeps his own team on edge.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to go out of his way. So, unless it's Zach Hyman.
I wonder what he did with
Hyman. If Zach Hyman, he'll, like, wear the Hyman jersey. I'm convinced he's got one, like, under his
shirt. Hyman's in the Babcock Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I think Hyman lives with Babcock.
Yeah.
I think that's
maybe
what it is.
Hyman
maybe they
could do
together
any. It's like Sid and Lemieux when he first got to Pittsburgh. Hyman lives with Babcock. But you're right. I mean, Babcock, and the thing is, if we know this and we're talking about this and all this focus on Ovechkin's minutes, what do you think Babcock is thinking?
Yeah.
Babcock's probably penciling Ovechkin in for 18, 19 minutes in regulation, maybe 20, and he's going to devise a game plan of how you try to work that into your own favor. And I'm not sure how you do that with Ovechkin. I mean, I can't believe he only played 15 minutes. Trotz took it on the chin. He came out afterwards and said, that's on me. He didn't even have the appropriate explanation either.
Right.
Like, he cites power plays.
Yeah, we saw that was a bit bizarre.
They didn't have a power play, the Leafs, until the third. So why hadn't he played 14 or 15 minutes in the first two periods, considering the way they started the game?
Yeah, the 4-on-4 as well.
Yeah, that's another. Like, they had Oshie and Backstrom out there on the 4-on-4. I remember we were sitting there. Yeah. I'm like, this is weird. He doesn't have Ovechkin on the 4-on-4.
Yeah, it was a little strange because we thought maybe he was injured, but, and that's what we were waiting for, perhaps those comments to come out to say, actually, or let's face it, they're never really going to say anything in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And maybe he is injured. I don't know. Maybe they're still trying to cover it up, because if he doesn't play a lot tonight, you have to wonder, is he in fact injured? And maybe that's just Barry Trotz trying not to admit that he's injured and just kind of,
well, his minutes will indicate that tonight. If he plays 14, 15 minutes again, I don't even have to hear from Barry Trotz.
You know, there's something up.
It's pretty obvious.
If he's healthy, he's played 20.
I would think he's going 20 minutes tonight.
You're not making a comment like that unless you're covering something else up.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So I wanted to discuss, yesterday I brought it up briefly near the end, and I actually found the poll that I put out. And this was in December, so it was the end of the calendar year. And the poll was, what moment do you look at in this calendar year as the most important for the Leafs? And I had the Dion Phaneuf trade, winning the draft lottery, acquiring Fred Anderson, or six rookies on opening night. So obviously that was the calendar year, but maybe we can just look at the last year. No surprise that winning the draft lottery was at 80%. But the surprise for me, Freddie Anderson came in last at 5%. Does that change given the way the rest of the year has gone, and in particular these first three games in the playoffs? We'll discuss that when we return here on Leafs Lunch, as you continue to listen on TSN 1050, streaming online and on TSN 4.
In life, you want expectations, because expectations simply mean you have a chance. When you go to the Olympic Games and you're rated 30th, you have no chance. There's no pressure on you. I don't think that's what you're looking for in life.
Leafs head coach Mike Babcock once again talking about expectations. I just feel like he keeps getting that dart. I'm not referring to dart, man. The actual dart. And just keeps throwing it Washington's way, saying the pressure's still on you boys, not on us. We're still the underdogs.
Well, if they win tonight, that is not the case anymore.
Nope.
And if you go up 3-1, you can't claim, hey, this is just fun and we're kids and it's still all on them. No, when you go up 3-1, then all of a sudden everyone expects you to win.
There's a sense of pressure.
Yes.
Right?
And that'll be interesting to see how it applies tonight, because they lost game one. They battle back in game two. Obviously, you're going into game three, and someone's got to walk out of that building with a lead, and it happens to be the Maple Leafs, and they're playing a playoff series, a lot of these kids for the first time, with a lead on home ice tonight.
All right,
so we'll see.
So I wanted to get to that poll that I had referred to that I put out in December, the moment you look at as the most important for the Leafs. It doesn't surprise me, and I still think a lot of people would say winning the draft lottery because that equates to Austin Matthews. But what shocked me was out of the four options I gave, Freddie Anderson came in last at 5%. It's still, and I know I get accused of being a goalie hugger, and that's fine, but it still baffles me how some people just don't think about the goaltending position until they have to think about the goaltending position. I just feel like that should always be number one, especially in the sport of hockey, where it's so crucial and you face a lot of shots and goalies can steal games, right? Like soccer, your goalkeeper can play a pretty solid game, but he's never going to steal you a game. Hockey is the sport where your goalie can steal you a game, but I feel like they get no love. No love for the goalies.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not surprised by that poll result because that was back in December, right?
That was back in December, yes.
Freddie had the tough start, and there was so much focus on the kids at that point. And you know,
not the sexiest option.
Yeah, but the truth is, like, all year we've been talking about how are they going to get a number one defenseman, or how are they going to add a couple of top four defensemen? The truth is, if they had a terrible goaltender, no one would be caring about the defense because all of the pressure on Lamoriello and Shanahan would be to go out there and acquire a goaltender.
Right.
You can't start your rebuild. You can't start moving forward without that position being solidified. And yeah, you win the lottery, and that represents something so different, right? Something finally broke the Maple Leafs' way. It was the perfect tank season that actually materialized in the end with Matthews here. And now he's the face of the franchise, and he will be, you would believe, for the next 15, 20 years potentially. But Freddie Anderson has been huge for them. Like, they're not in the playoffs without Freddie Anderson. They're not up 2-1 without Freddie Anderson. And the goaltending position, if you don't have it, it's all you focus on. So I do think, to your point, when you have it, you're like, okay, let's talk about the other stuff because whatever, that's, you know, the goalie you're supposed to. And, you know, I don't believe you can market goaltenders. I don't believe people buy tickets to go see goaltenders. They're like, they're just there and they have to do their job. And you talk about them when they don't get the job done. But the flashier, more marketable players are the forwards, the number one defenseman, et cetera. But Freddie, without him, they're not here today.
Well, a great example is the Winnipeg Jets. A lot of people believe that this team was ahead of the Leafs, and that I'll take that blue line. But they don't have a goalie.
Right.
And that's why they're not in the playoffs, because they can never string enough wins together. And, you know, Western Conference is obviously tough. But, you know, like you said, for the Leafs to win this series, and everyone said it before it, Freddie Anderson would have to be the better of the two goalies. And so far, I don't know if it's a huge margin, but you're right. He has been the better. And I don't know, the Kuznetsov goal wasn't the best goal, but he hasn't. And Tom Wilson's goal wasn't great. But other than that, can't really fault him on the goals that he is allowing.
Well, the first two goals the other night, that's not on him. Like, that's Backstrom backdoor and an absolute bomb from Ovechkin.
That's Zaitsev was trying to hit the ground running, and he kind of stutter-stepped instead.
And you know what? He really survived criticism. I think people were going to give him a longer leash anyway because we presume he's coming off a concussion, and he's jumping on a moving train that he's never even witnessed before. I mean, this is NHL playoff games that he's never had. He's a rookie, too. He's no different than these kids. And he didn't have practice time. He, you know, all of a sudden he's thrown in there and he's up against maybe the most potent line in the league, in the Backstrom line. And he looked lost early on. And they had to adjust, and then they did adjust. They kind of moved him around. They kept him away from the Ovechkin line. He got better as the night went on. But if the Leafs ended up losing Game 3, we would have been talking a lot more about Zaitsev.
Right.
Like, he kind of got saved by the fact that they won the game.
And that's why you'd be so worried if you would have to go to Marchenko instead of Marinson. And we're joking, like, we're talking about Marinson like he's Chris Pronger here, but to jump on that train, as you put it, is really tough. And you know, do they have a star set of blue line? Of course not, but at least this group has kind of been together and they're comfortable right now. And if you take another piece out and you're forced to do that with Pollock, then you're bringing in another guy that has to, it might take him a period, and you might not have that luxury again. And that was Zaitsev's, I think he said afterwards, maybe the worst period that he's ever had, or the most nightmarish period that he's ever experienced in his life.
Well, we all know after that Florida game where he was, what, like a minus five, he actually asked asked the coaches if he set an NHL record because he couldn't believe it. He was so devastated, and he was very forthcoming in saying, I can't stop thinking about it. Like, I couldn't sleep. It's still bothering me. I need to learn to have a short memory. So you know that you talk about a team bouncing back. He's also one of those players, but I don't think you've ever really seen him have a bad game two games in a row. But you have to also remember, and yes, we are speaking this way because the Leafs won. You know the narrative is completely different if they didn't win. However, because they did win, we can say you cut him a little bit of slack because it's not like he just missed the week. He wasn't even skating. He skated, I think, you know, twice, right? I think it was like Friday or Saturday and Sunday or something. Puts out the tweet, which immediately ends up getting deleted. Back,
that was Lou on Twitter saying, you're blocked.
Yeah, exactly. Take that down now. And then he hits the ground running. Oh, and by the way, you're up against Ovi. Like, Ovi is a frightening human being out on the ice. I mean, even if you're Freddie and you're looking at that shot, like, I'm pretty sure Ovechkin was trying to take his head off. There was no way anyone was going to stop that puck.
No one can shoot like that from the slot. Like, no, that's why he's Alex Ovechkin. That's why he's one of the top five or seven goal scorers of all time. And if you can recall, early in that game, maybe the first shift, Ovechkin and Zaitsev had a physical... Ovi went after him. Now, that might partially because they're both Russian, they know each other, and they've got a history on the national team. But I think Ovechkin's also aware, this guy's probably coming off a concussion, and I'm going to test him. I'm going to get after him. And people may not want to hear it, but that's the kind of conversation that'll happen in the background. If you can get this guy with his head down, lay him out.
Right.
You know?
Or also just he hasn't skated. He's not fresh. Just after him.
Totally. And I think he'll be better tonight. And I think that's a big boost. Another defenseman that didn't get a lot of play because they've won the last two games is Pulock. Like, the fact that Pulock, he played really well over the final 25-30 games. He really established himself as an important piece on this team, and he's their most physical defenseman. He killed penalties really well. He and Hunwick worked as a third pairing, which I was surprised by. I didn't think it was ever going to materialize to the point where you're sitting there and you're comfortable enough with them on the ice as a third pairing. But he goes down in game two. And in the moment, they were down 2-1. He gets hurt, and you're like, here we go. I don't know if Zaitsev's coming back. Now Pollock's out. They're in big trouble. They come back, win that game, then win game three, and people forget about Pollock, which that's sports, right? Like, it happens.
I didn't forget about him.
I know,
guy.
But outcomes determine the conversation.
But it was the same Roman Pollock that we saw last year with San Jose. Like, he's a perfect guy on a good team, slotted in the right spot, playing the right amount of minutes that you need to have. It's like... You know, you talked about having Hal Gill on the show. Like, Hal Gill did not have a great tenure as a Maple Leaf, but as soon as he was with Montreal and Pittsburgh, it's like, oh, this guy's a warrior. This guy blocks shots. This guy, you know, how could the Leafs ever
win the cup?
Yeah, how could the Leafs ever get rid of this guy? Well, because they were awful, and you're asking him to be on a top pairing or a second pairing and play in every different situation. Like, that's, you know, that's what you're getting with a Pollock, and he also plays a game that it's easily forgettable, right? Like, if
there's no flash,
right? Like, if you notice him, it's because he makes a mistake. So that's another reason.
And that's the thing, too. It's so hard to watch that replay of him, his leg buckling, and I think he's going under the knife today, I believe.
Apparently he's recovering.
He's already recovering. Yeah.
You're still trying to bring the pain down.
It was a significant injury.
And if he is suffering from pain, what would that do to us?
Oh, dude, I'd be out. I'd never be back in
studio.
We'd
be on, like,
again.
You'd quit
sabbatical.
Whatever you're doing.
Yeah, the couching to 10K would just be couching.
Oh, by the way, how is that training going?
I'm in trouble, man. Wednesday's a training day, and I'm in here. So this counts as my training.
Oh, that
I'm blaming
is such
you.
A cop-out.
You guys
First
had me
of all,
come in.
I told you that I would stay after the show.
Right.
And so I would stay late, you come in a little early, and we would train in the parking lot. I put that offer out to you. And you Heisman'd me, and like you just...
Oh, I have no interest in that offer.
Not even close.
No chance.
You don't want a spectator, that's the thing.
Yeah, well, I don't want a witness, exactly. Unless it's like a really, truly grit grinder out there who's doing the same thing I'm doing.
Right. Dude.
I don't need someone who's more athletic, in better shape, looking down on me. I don't need
that. You will work out with Dark Guy, and that's about
it. Yes. Well, that happened. I told this story in the air last week. Like, I'm kind of like a walk and jog guy. Like, I go for a WOG is what I call it. And it's so pathetic.
What does that look like?
You can imagine what it looks like. Like, I'm hyperventilating the whole time. I'm miserable. I hate running. I admit it. I know it's good for you. The study just came out earlier this week that every time you go running, it like adds minutes to your life. Right. It's the best thing you can do.
Why don't you do something else? Because running can also be hard on the joints. If you don't like running.
But I have to do it.
Ride a bike.
The 10K. I can't pull a bike out for the 10K.
Say. You can't rollerblade the 10K.
Oh, so you so this has been decided. You actually are going to run, because there was a 5K walk that was being debated.
And the dumbest thing we've ever done is not commit to the 5K walk, because the 5K walk was at like 12:30 in the afternoon. It's leisurely. We would have been the youngest people by about 30 years. We probably would have won the race, which would have been great for the confidence. We could have pints on the walk.
So what's the date here? I need to make sure I have my signs ready.
May 7th.
I'm going to have my signs ready to say go, overdrive, go.
Please do.
That's okay.
We could use the help.
I'll be on the sideline. All right. So it is, what day is it today? It's Wednesday, right?
Wednesday.
All right. Let's get to some Leafs Lunch Power Rankings.
Shoot the goal! Holy mackerel!
Leafs Lunch Power Rankings. Brought to you by WeatherTech.
It's the big picture. They're in the playoffs. Are you kidding me?
Leafs Lunch Power Rankings brought to you by WeatherTech Automotive Accessories. Nothing protects your vehicle's floor like WeatherTech floor liners. These, we never can really agree. But of course, what we're doing is ranking the Canadian teams that have made the playoffs. So still at number one, we're keeping the Montreal Canadiens there. The Rangers pulling off a win to tie that series up 2-2. The Ottawa Senators, we've moved them up from third to second, giving Boston a run for their money. They had that 3-goal lead. They blew it, but they ended up winning it in overtime. The Oilers have dropped from second to third. So that series now tied with the San Jose Sharks. You know, wee bit of a spanking there, 7-0. And the undisciplined, they are not being disciplined, catching up to them. They gave up 8 power play opportunities. San Jose Sharks scoring on 4 of them. We know in the first 2 games, they gave up 12. You know that's going to catch up to you at some point. Toronto Maple Leafs move up. So they're in fourth, leading the Washington Capitals 2-1 in their series. And the Flames, of course, not surprising. Fifth, they are down 3-0 to the Anaheim Ducks. Do we have any bones of contention with that? So you got Canadians, Senators, Oilers, Leafs, Flames. Would you say the Leafs should be higher, or are you okay with them being 4 out of 5?
I think tonight will determine a lot of that. And I understand Wednesday is when you do the power rankings, but if they win tonight, then they should move up maybe to the top spot, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Like, that wouldn't be inconceivable that Washington could storm back down 3-1. But if they go up 3-1 and play impressively tonight, they would have to be a top two team, I would think, on that ranking. For sure, Calgary's 5, no question. Right. They're done. Yeah. They're toast.
I think the big conversation is Leafs or Oilers, and what situation would you rather be in right now? Because that now it's a best of 3. You're facing a team that's obviously filled with veterans who have been there, who have actually done the run now that they got to the Stanley Cup final last year. You know, the Leafs are still up 2-1, and you're against a team that has a horrible history. Like, that is the toss-up for me. Like, the Sens have been very impressive with how they've been able to bounce back and give up 3-goal leads and then win in overtime and all that. So I think they're okay with where they are. But, you know, the power rankings are all about who's going to advance at this point, not if they played each other, who's better, because that's too hypothetical. So I think that's, like Brian says, tonight's going to answer a lot. But right now, I feel pretty good about the Leafs over the Oilers, just because I would take San Jose in a best of 3 over Edmonton, just given their experience.
Yeah, I think I would, too. The only thing I would say is the Oilers have home ice, where if the Caps tied up tonight, they take home ice back.
Right.
And then, you know, 2 of the final 3 would be in Washington. But that's an interesting question, right? Like, who would you take right now? I think I would lean Leafs just because of the way they've played through 3 games, because, you know, they're in a very similar position to the Oilers. Young team.
For sure.
You know, good goaltenders, had a good year, good coach, but up against the veteran-laden team with much more expectation.
How would the young guys react to
how
situations?
How will they react?
And it's interesting how, you know, you talked about how Toronto has played, how Edmonton has played in that series. Like, this has not been a team that has scored 5 goals a game, and Connor McDavid's lighting them up. Like,
It's Zach Kassian.
Well, and it's giving up 16 shots in game 2 and, like, I think 22 in game 3. And it's this style that it's great. Like, they should be commended, but that's not what you think of when you think of the Edmonton Oilers.
Well, there you go. So those are the Leafs Lunch Power Rankings brought to you by WeatherTech Automotive Accessories. Get the ultimate custom fit floor protection for your car, truck, or SUV. Go to weathertech.ca. Nothing protects like WeatherTech. Robert Mucho is putting out a diagram here of what the Leafs need to do to win based on our superstitions. Very interesting. We'll check that out when we come back. We're also going to have our TSN Hockey Insider, Pierre LeBrun, join us to talk a little bit more about Game 4 that goes tonight. You can listen to it right here on TSN 1050. And that's what you're listening to right now for Leafs Lunch. Don't go anywhere. Lease Busters will get you out of your car lease today. It's as easy as pie, a piece of cake. Avoid penalties and early termination fees. Visit leasebusters.com. Welcome back into Leafs Lunch. Jenny Petrillo alongside Brian Hayes and Mark Rowe getting set for Game 4 tonight at the Air Canada Centre that you can listen to right here on TSN 1050. Pre-game beginning at 6:30 p.m. Puck drop at 7. Time to welcome in now our TSN Hockey Insider, Pierre LeBrun. This Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance It. What in the world is that? Was that you, Pierre?
Say that again, Andy.
I thought Pierre was.
What are you reacting to?
Did you think Aerosmith? Pierre LeBrun was?
Did you not
Jimi Hendrix?
For a second there, I thought Pierre was singing. Yeah, the Jimi Hendrix lyrics. I'm like, why is Pierre singing to me?
I have no problem singing on the radio. I've done it before. I once sang half a GNR song for Brian Hayes in his early days.
Oh, that's right, man.
He serenaded you.
It was quite something.
All right,
you try to forget
Jimmy's
it.
Jimmy's not in my. I don't have the voice for it.
I thought you were upset that they didn't play Aerosmith.
No, voice scared me. Just as I introduced Pierre, Jimi Hendrix kicked in, and I'm like, Pierre serenading me. That's okay, a little awkward, but whatever floats your boat on game day, my friend.
Busy here this morning. This is why you have to watch a morning skate. You never know what might happen.
Yeah, apparently Holtby got run into by Johansson, but he says, I'm good, I'm fine, don't want to talk about it.
We're all standing there watching the skate, and suddenly Hopi goes down, and you could not hear a thing. I mean, everything stops, and he's down, and you're just sort of watching. And then he got up, and everyone started smiling again. So I talked to him afterwards, and he goes, hey, stuff happens. He's fine. No big deal. Johansson said that he was trying to avoid him on the drill and didn't realize Hopi was coming out, so that's why he ended up colliding with him. But he caught him up high. Mm-hmm. Which, as Barry Trotz said, his heart stopped for a moment there, but they can all joke about it now.
We know yesterday the narrative was so different between two teams. You got Tyler Bozak being asked about Dark Guy. You have Matt Niskanen being asked about the end of the world. What was it like this morning in both dressing rooms?
It's the end of the world.
There we go.
You know, you even had a beer today.
I got a lot going on. I tell you what, Justin Williams was so impressive as always in the Caps room tonight. I mean, he is such a leader, 3-time Cup champion, and he basically said, "Listen, you know, he's been on teams that were down 0-2, 0-3 to start the playoffs. Remember that Kings team that lost the first three games to San Jose before coming back and winning the Cup? He says you're going to go through adversity on the journey." But there are moments in the playoffs where the pressure is on big time and you have to man up, and this is one of them tonight. Let's go. It's impressive when a guy like that, with the three rings to go with it, just spells it out as it is. And I suspect we'll see a pretty good game here in the Washington Capitals tonight.
A lot has been made of Williams, and he deserves all of his reputation. I mean, he's Mr. Game 7. You mentioned the three Cubs, all the points in the playoffs, but he's also 35. And he's relatively new to the room. I mean, it can't be just on him to drag this team into a war, right? Pierre, it's Ovechkin, Backstrom, it's Carlson, it's Holtby. It's the four or five best players on the team that have to do it. You can't rely on Justin Williams and his pregame speeches. I mean, I think too much has been made of that, to be honest.
There's no question about it, Hayes. I'm with you on that. I mean, I think that, you know, the benefit of having Justin is obviously he'll still deliver some clutch moments, but, you know, he's really part of the supporting cast at this point in his career. It's the big boys that have to get it done. And early on in game three, I thought Ovechkin and Backstrom in particular had a lot of juice to their game, before everything got frittered away again for them. So, I wrote this column today, guys, on ESPN.com, but, you know, This is a defining moment, I think, for the Caps. I mean, you hate to be the guy that starts to go all dramatic 6 days into their playoffs, but I don't know how you don't think it is. I mean, given their history, but also given what's here at hand. I mean, half this team is on expiring contracts. I mean, they know in that room that whether they lose in the first round or win the Stanley Cup, they're not coming back as a whole. There's a lot of emotion attached to that. You know, they like playing for each other. And I think there's a lot of pressure attached to all of those things all into one.
Do you find it a little strange, Barry Trotz admitting that it's on him, Alexander Ovechkin's minutes? And by strange, I mean, how did that slip past him? How do you not notice that your captain and arguably your best player did not see a lot of ice time?
It is odd, and I give Barry Trotz credit for singling himself out on that and not trying to, you know, come up with a lame excuse. But when Alex Ovechkin plays 2 minutes and 1 second more than Tom Wilson, I don't think you're doling it out right. And especially because I could see it, you know, remember when Dale Hunter was coaching a bit and he was trying to, you know, give Ovechkin a lesson. Ovechkin was hopping the other night. I mean, he had it going. And so you want your thoroughbred out there as much as possible, I think, when you have him going that way. I suspect we'll see a lot more of number eight tonight for sure.
You talk about this being a defining moment for the Capitals. Is this a defining moment for Barry Trotz?
I don't know if that's fair, because the one thing I would tell you, this is just the second year here. You inherited a lot of these ghosts. You know, I mean, I don't know how you put that on Barry Trotz. You know, and the other thing is, guys, like, I covered that Pittsburgh-Washington series. You did not leave the rink that night after that series was over thinking that Washington shrunk in front of that challenge. That was two heavyweights slugging it out last year. One of them won the cup. But this is different right now. Right now, I haven't seen a Washington team play up to its level. And so that's what I mean. Tonight, game four, I mean, their year won't end if they lose. But the kind of hole they would dig themselves in and the kind of psychological warfare that would come with it over the next 48 to 76 hours if they lose again to the Leafs, oh my goodness.
Well, and that's why I think it's a defining moment for both teams. Like, obviously, you know, from the outside, there's more focus on the Caps because of who they are, what their history is. They win the President's Trophy. This is the year. Everyone just jumped on the bandwagon that they're going to win the Cup because it's their time to win the Cup. But the Leafs, they've never been in this position either. They've never been up 2-1. Like, everyone keeps referencing the Boston series. They didn't win Game 3. They lost Game 3 and 4 at home. They were down 3-1 in that series. They didn't really have a lead in that series until it was, you know, the third period on Monday night in Game 7. We know how that all played out. So the Leafs are in a position here. Even the vets that were in that Boston series, they have not been up 2-1 in a series. They have not been up 2-1 playing on home ice Game 4. And if they come out and smack Washington in the face, I mean, doesn't it get to a point, Pierre, where we stop saying, well, Washington hasn't played their game, and we just admit, you know what, the Leafs have been better. Period. End of story.
I mean, listen, we talked about this pregame the other night. You know, Brian, when I brought up some of the analysis from other head coaches that were given my way, they weren't saying the Caps are dropping this. They were saying the Leafs were dictating.
Right.
I mean, those are other coaches saying it. So I think there's something to that. I also think, you know, Mike Babcock unsolicited brought up the San Jose-Edmonton game tonight, this morning, sorry, at his presser. I think that's by design. I think the Sharks and the Oilers provided the Leafs a great teaching moment, which is, it's great to feel good about yourself. You're the young darlings. Everyone's saying great things, and you deserve to be up 2-1. But you've got an angry veteran team on the other side. Be ready. And, you know, Edmonton found out the hard way last night. But I think, and I talked with Brian Boyle about this morning, too, and he said, you know, the Tampa game was like that for him, too, where the Leafs could have clinched their playoff spot on that Thursday night against Tampa, and the Lightning were a wounded animal. That was a teaching moment, he felt, for that team, too. You know, you need to have the same desperation level as the other team. So I think the Leafs are well aware of what's coming at them tonight.
Yeah, we discussed that in the 11 a.m. hour, how it's almost a blessing in disguise to have this Oilers-Sharks series always play the night before for the Leafs, because it is, you know, we compare the two, the Leafs and the Oilers, and it's a great teaching experience. And then, of course, Babcock comes out and says that. And then, hey, how about the Columbus Blue Jackets? I mean, that could have been the first team eliminated in the first round, but they come back and live to see another day. But speaking of the Sharks-Oilers, do we know anything more about Leon Draisaitl, who of course decided to, you know, I call it the equipment check on Chris Tierney, and he gets booted out of the game. Nice little spear there. Do we know anything more about any kind of hearing?
I haven't heard yet here, because I've been at the ACC, Andy. I know that they for sure were looking at it, but whether or not they're going the next level, we'll find out soon enough here.
Okay, well, just as I ask you that, I just see he has a hearing today for spearing.
There you go.
So
that would be a huge hit, man.
I said soon enough. Yeah. I wasn't lying to you.
Yeah, literally just like a minute ago as I'm seeing it all come down. So, yeah, he's going to have a hearing. I mean, that, and I know we keep kind of, sort of, maybe not really joking about Zach Cassian being the superstar for the Edmonton Oilers right now, but how, that's got to be a huge blow if Draisaitl, even if it's just one game.
Well, it would be, and it kind of underlines how frustrating the playoffs have been so far for him. You know, a lot of good things have been happening for the Oilers, but Draisaitl, you know, has struggled so far in his first taste of the NHL playoffs, which is not uncommon. But, you know, whether that's frustration at the end of that game there, who knows. But certainly something he's going to regret.
Mm-hmm. All right, Pierre, thanks so much for taking the time, my friend.
Right on. See you guys.
That is our TSN Hockey Insider, sometimes singer, Pierre LeBrun. This Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance It, monthly payment plans for big dreams and everyday budgets. You know, we've been talking a lot about special teams. Even heading into this series with the Leafs having the second-best power play and Washington having the third-best power play, and that turning point was killing off that 5-on-3 for the Leafs. But can I just get something off my chest? That first, in the first period, when Justin Williams takes down Morgan Rielly, and he gets called for the penalty, and then Morgan Rielly gets called for the embellishment. I don't know why, and I'm not saying the embellishment call shouldn't exist, but if a guy gets tripped, if a guy gets hooked, it is what it is. Like, why do we care how he goes down? To me, an embellishment is if you get hit in the leg and you grab your face. Like, what are you doing, right? You get hit in one body part, but you hold on to another.
How can it be one and not the other?
But to me, it's like Justin Williams hooked Morgan Rielly. He went down, so his left arm flails a little bit more, you know, than the ref would like. Like, to me, that kind of bothered me.
Well, the officiating, I haven't liked it. And I wouldn't like it on either side. If I was the Caps, I wouldn't love it. If I was the Leafs, I wouldn't love it. I got issues with the officiating in general in this league. I hate the review process. I hate it. I would get rid of it all.
What, you don't like those offside looks?
I hate it. And I wouldn't review goaltender interference either. I'm done with it. I hate how it slows down the product. This is entertainment. Mm-hmm. It sucks the life out of a building. I think over time, everything evens out anyway. And half the time with goaltender interference, you don't know what they're going to call in the end anyway.
Yeah.
You see the review and you're like, oh, that's goalie interference. And then all of a sudden it's not. Or you're like, oh, that clearly isn't goaltender interference. And then it is. So people are confused anyway. I don't think it's done what it's supposed to do.
Well,
so
we don't even really get all the angles on the offside either, right?
Well,
which
exactly.
Also makes it confusing.
So you're confused by it. But this gets back to what we were talking about earlier. The outcomes of these games have directed, you know, where we're going with the conversation and where the narrative is going to mm-hmm. be. If the Leafs were down 2-1 or down 3-0, which could have happened, three easily. Overtime games, mm-hmm. we would have been talking a lot more about the officiating. Like in game two, when Boyle got that penalty in mm-hmm. overtime, but they didn't call, I think it was Kuznetsov who had tripped Nylander earlier.
Yep.
Oshie when he goes Lawrence Taylor and drives through Freddie Anderson at the end of the third period. They didn't call that. So the whistles go away, but then they show up miraculously in overtime against the league. Like, I just think it's been so inconsistent on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it was game two where Rielly ran into Williams and he's standing on the blue line. That's a garbage call. Like, if I'm the Caps, I'm like, that is a garbage call. I'm entitled to my position. I'm standing here. I didn't go out of my way. So I don't think it's been great either way. But because the games have been so entertaining and because of the city we're in and the Leafs are up 2-1, no one's talking about it.
No.
You got
no one's
better
focused
things to on. Talk about.
Exactly. A lot more better things.
Well, and I think all we'd ever ask for is at least in that game have the calls be consistent, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it might be, you know, it's sad to say, it could be different game by game, which can be confusing the players. You know, in one game that was considered a hook, and the next game it wasn't considered a hook. But at least in the game, set the tone of what it's going to be. But that one just really bothered me because you end up negating a power play. Because to me, a hook is a hook is a hook.
Well, and later in the game, when the 5-on-3 came on, Martin got 4 minutes for roughing and Wilson got 2. And they were both pushing. I know Martin pushed him and then he got down on the ground, but Wilson threw the first punch and then was punching back. And I thought he kind of took a dive, to be honest. So even there, I'm like, wait a minute.
And the Leafs get the extra two.
And you get the extra two.
I didn't realize I opened up a can of worms with that, like with 10 seconds to go in the show. Should have said it a little earlier.
Yeah.
Maybe
Hayes,
next
my
time.
Friend. I know. Thanks for taking the time. Mark Rowe, always a pleasure. That's Leafs Lunch getting set for game 4 tonight that you can listen to right here on TSN 1050. Scott MacArthur coming up next.